So far, I've seen the flies that are first at the scene of the crime, I've learned how mobile phones can tell tales on crooks, and heard how audio recordings can play a key part in the courtroom. All very impressive, but there's a particular type of evidence I haven't mentioned yet, which is arguably one that's had the biggest impact in the last few decades, and that's DNA. This is so often used to clear or condemn suspects in the courtroom, but what makes this type of evidence so important?
Everyone is made up of it. It contains basically the genetic information that makes up who you are, so what you look like, yeah, your hair colour, your eye colour, everything.
That's Dr. Marie Ochimoto, lecturer in forensic sciences at Anglia Ruskin University. DNA not only provides the code for what colour your eyes are, your gender, but it's like a unique barcode which forensic scientists can use to put you at a crime scene, provided it matches the samples found there. DNA is found all over your body, in your cells. These are in your skin, your saliva, your blood. But how do we get this match? Well, if a sample is found at the scene of the crime, it's taken to a lab like Marie's.
The DNA that you get at a crime scene is probably not going to be the cleanest sample. It might be off the floor, it might be off the toilet floor. So one of the first steps, what we have to do is extract it and purify it. Also to get rid of any contaminants that might be present, as well as cellular material. The second step would be to find out how much there is. So it's called quantification. The amount of sample that you normally have at a crime scene is usually very limited in both quality and quantity. So it's necessary to amplify that. So basically get more of that, many, many copies.
Marie amplifies the DNA with what is called PCR. DNA is double-stranded, so imagine a train track. And when you heat the DNA, the train track splits apart. And then using some proteins called primers, this can rebuild each side of the split track, meaning now you have two train tracks. This is repeated over and over until you have billions of pieces of this original strand of DNA.
Once we've done that, we can actually separate it and find out what fragments we actually have. So we use what's called a capillary electrophoresis machine, and that can generate, you know, a DNA profile. And hopefully that's a full DNA profile.
The machine in the lab looked a bit like a computer from the 90s, big, grey, blockish, and the front opened up to reveal several tiny glass tubes, which all led into a small black box with a sign saying, "Danger, avoid direct exposure to beam." So the next stage is to take your DNA strands, which have been dyed a colour, and feed them into the machine.
Okay, so we're turning on the... What's it called again?
It's called a... This model is a 3130. It's a genetic analyzer. It's also... it's used to separate fragments for DNA to produce a DNA profile, but it's also used for things like sequencing as well. So it has a couple of different applications.
It draws up the samples through all these tubes in a little labyrinth, puts it through this laser, which we've been warned very helpfully not to expose ourselves to.
Yes.
And then this laser, if it detects the colours that have been already dyed, it will know here is the presence or the absence of a specific part of the gene.
Yes, correct. And then eventually that will just pass through into the waste, and then the information from the laser will be then transferred onto a data collection software where we can actually view the profile.
Marie showed me one of the DNA profiles they've made, and this isn't your entire genetic sequence. It's a set of, in this case, 17 sections of your barcode, which are likely to be different in unrelated individuals. To my untrained eye, it looked a bit like a graph with small coloured spikes. And these profiles from the crime scene DNA can then be compared with the profiles of the suspect DNA, either incriminating them or exonerating them. And the chances of a match with a stranger? About one in a billion. So unless you have a particularly criminal identical twin, not bad odds.
Very, very accurate. Chances of, you know, having someone not being a match, you know, one in a billion. So that's, I think that's highly discriminatory. It's also very sensitive. You only need about 0.01 nanograms per microliter. You can get a lot of data from that.
Is there not a risk when every human has their own set of DNA that it could get quite easily contaminated?
Yes, because the technique DNA profiling has become so sensitive, that is always a constant worry. So in the lab, we often wear lab coats. We completely clean down the surfaces. We generally have what are called pre-PCR and post-PCR, just to make sure that we minimize the contamination, and obviously wear gloves, all the protective gear, you know, tie your hair back, everything you can think of.
Dr. Marie Ochimoto there. Marie assured me that any accidental contaminations can be sorted out relatively easily. Our prisons aren't full of genetic analysts. But